My message this morning is entitled Dance. So several years ago, my alma mater, Wake Forest University, celebrated the life and teachings of one of its very own, Maya Angelou. And while she was a professor there, she's best known as an American poet and author. She tells the story that from the age of 3 to 7, she was raised by her grandmother. And that time ended up being a period of rare calm and stability in what would become really a very traumatic childhood for her. Now, her grandmother ran the local general store, and one thing that really bothered her grandmother was people complaining. They complained about the heat and cold, a myriad of other things that Maya's grandmother thought were just really sort of trivial. Now, according to Maya, whenever that would happen, Maya's grandmother would wait until the complainer left the store. And then she'd call Maya over to her and say, "Sister, did you hear what brother so-and-so or sister much to do complained about? Sister, there are people who went to sleep all over the world last night, poor and rich, white and black, and they will never wake again. And those dead people would give anything, anything at all, for just 5 minutes of this weather that person was grumbling about. So watch yourself about complaining, sister. What you're supposed to do when you don't like the way that a thing is change it. And if you can't change it, change your attitude. Don't complain." Well, it's a lesson that Maya learned and often repeated, saying, when you don't like the way a thing is, change it. If you can't change it, change the way you think about it. Don't complain. The general attitude of complaining or not seeing things or not seeing the upside of things, the tendency to be negative and to miss out on the blessings in life, is sort of the primary focus of today's scripture in the way that I read it. See, Jesus is accusing folks of, he's accusing folks of accusing folks. Specifically, he's accusing them of accusing John the Baptist, but he's using the complaining about John as an example of how they tend to conduct their own lives. And spoiler alert, he basically thinks that complaining and being negative is one of the things that makes our lives sometimes miserable and difficult. He says the people have been demonizing John, saying that he's eating and being drunk when he's doing neither. Basically, being negative and looking for some reason to demonize him at the expense of reality, sort of like modern-day politics tends to do. But like I said, Jesus is using this as an example of how they tend to conduct their lives. In the text, we get to the big picture of what Jesus sees as the problem, the bigger picture of what he says is getting in the way of all of them having at least a somewhat better life. He says, "We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." Basically, Jesus is saying, life has presented you with the opportunity to come together in the good and in the bad, and you chose to do neither. You prefer to create drama, to manipulate reality, to divide into factions, judging one another. Here's the interesting thing. Jesus doesn't actually say it himself. He puts it into the mouths of children. He says, it's like children sitting in the marketplace calling to one another and saying these things. Now, in my opinion, this is really sophisticated storytelling. In verses 16 and 17, Jesus both has the children critique the actions of the adults, basically making it clear that if children can get that this is no way to live life, certainly the adults can figure it out too. And then he uses the children as an example to the adults because the children's aren't just saying we played the flute and you did not dance. They're saying it to each other. So Jesus is also using them as an example of the utter ridiculousness of people being negative and accusing each other. Sometimes it's just an outfalling of our humanity. We get so wrapped up in ourselves and in the difficulties in our lives that we forget. We forget about others, or worse yet, we make it difficult, make life difficult for others. And then, just as bad, because of it, we tend to miss out on the good life because we've invested so much energy in maintaining these negative accusations and positions. Now, mind you, it's not an excuse. Just because it comes somewhat natural to us, it doesn't mean that we should give in to it. If anything, when we think it through and what it does to us, we should want to avoid it. There's this story about Mr. Jones who dies and goes to heaven. And when he arrives at the gates, St. Peter's is waiting and takes Mr. Jones out for a tour of heaven. Now, Mr. Jones is sort of awestruck. The streets are paved with gold, beautiful mansions glisten in the sunshine, choirs of angels sing the most beautiful songs. And then, partway through this tour of heaven, Mr. Jones' eyes is drawn towards this odd-looking building. An enormous warehouse with no windows and just one singular door in the front. Strange, he thought. Strange architecture for heaven. He says to St. Peter, "What's in there?" St. Peter says, "You really don't want to know what's in these." "Oh, but I do. So he races across the lawn, he pushes the door open to discover row after row and shelf after shelf, floor to ceiling, all of them stacked with boxes, thousands and thousands of boxes. The boxes then also all have names on them. Mr. Jones asks, "Is one of there with my name on it?" And he rushes to the J aisle to check it out for himself. And he finds the box with his name on it, and he opens it up. And his mouth drops, his pulse quickens. And finally he says to St. Peter, What are all these wonderful things in my box? Are they goods that are in store for me now that I'm in heaven?" "Well, no," said St. Peter. "They're all the blessings intended for you while you were alive on earth, but which you never received." A sad look kind of came over Mr. Jones' face, and he looked into the box and into Peter and said, "Why?" He asked Peter, "Why didn't I accept all those things?" St. Peter simply replied, "We've been trying to figure it out ourselves." I think that's what Jesus is trying to get at in the second part of our scripture today. "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." Carrying around accusations, grudges, and divisions, that's heavy work. It will wear out a soul. It will distract you. It will distract you from the blessings that are waiting for you in this life, because frequently those blessings are found in other people. Even the people you might see yourself standing over and against. Jesus says, "Learn from me." And then instantly speaks of his gentleness and humbleness. This is sort of the diametric opposite of people we hear of in the beginning of the scripture. The ones who, despite the music, will not dance. Those who will not mourn for others. Those who accuse John the Baptist of falsehoods to hurt him and create divisions. There's very little that's gentle or humble about them. That way of life, Jesus says, it's tough. It wearies a soul. Jesus' way, what he taught, is the way of loving neighbor, the way of grace, the way that dances when other lives sing and weeps when other lives grieve, opens our eyes and our ears to the bounteous blessings that have been planted in every single person that we meet. It's said that during the Second World War, some soldiers serving in France wanted to bury a friend, a fellow soldier who had been killed. And being in a foreign country, they had to ensure that the fallen comrade, in their minds, they needed to ensure that he received a proper burial. And they ultimately found this well-kept cemetery with a low stone wall around it, a picturesque little Catholic church with a peaceful outlook. And this was the place they decided that they should try to bury their friend. But when they approached the priest, he answered that unless their friend was baptized Catholic, he couldn't be married in the cemetery. Well, their friend wasn't Catholic. And sensing that the soldiers were disappointed, the priest sort of showed them a little spot just outside of the wall where they could bury their friend. And reluctantly, they did so. Well, the next day, the soldiers returned to pay their final respects to their fallen friend, but they couldn't find the grave. There's no way we got this wrong. It was right here. Confused, they approached the priest, who took them to a spot inside the cemetery walls. He said, "Last night I couldn't sleep. I was troubled that your friend had to be buried outside the cemetery walls. So I got up and I moved the fence." From our scripture reading today, "We wailed and you did not mourn." Christianity, grace, is about moving fences. It's about inclusion. It's about dancing together and mourning together. It's about communion. It's about community. There's a saying that's frequently attributed to the indigenous people of North America that goes something like this: "Someone made a circle to keep me out, and I made a bigger one to include us all." This struggle to fence people out or to bring people in, this struggle to dance when people's lives sing or to mourn with them when they weep, this struggle to which Jesus points to today between a life that is difficult or a life that is easier, it occurs within us all. An old Cherokee teaching goes like this. Cherokee man was teaching his grandson about life, and he tells him a fight's going on inside of me. It's a terrible fight. Fight between two wolves. One evil. He's angry and he's evil. He has envy and sorrow and regret and greed and arrogance and self-pity and guilt and resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. And he continued and he said, "Then the other. He's good. He's joy. He's peace. He's love. He's hope. Serenity. Humility. Kindness. Benevolence. Empathy. Generosity. Truth. Compassion and faith." He tells his young grandson the same fight is going on inside of you. And inside of every other person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute. And then he asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed. Which one will we feed?" Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble. You will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden light."